Good morning again, everyone, and thank you, Reverend Mark, for your kind words of encouragement and invitation. I'm Basil O'Malley, and I'm a farmer's son, but from between Five Mile Town and Brookborough. I now live in a place called Marilyn. It's maybe not as big as Sion Mills, but anyway, it's home for Nan and I. And as I told you earlier, I volunteer for Christians Against Poverty. It's just great to be here this morning to share the miracle of Christians Against Poverty. And that's what I want to do, to share with you a little bit of the background, tell you a little bit how CAP works, and we look at the scripture readings to see how what has God said to us about what we are called to do. I am not a preacher. I am just a farmer's son who's got this wee part of my journey that I volunteer for. So I don't mean to say I am in any way capable of sharing the interpretation of the scriptures like Mark and other preachers, but I'm just going to share those wee bits. And then I'm going to share with you some stories of true stories. I don't know about you and your faith or your journey, but hearing and witnessing true stories of how God sorts things out and how the power of the Holy Spirit can really change people's lives. That is on my personal journey, that is a powerful thing for me in terms of where we are and how we have the privilege of seeing God at work. And then we'll share a little bit about the hamper ministry we started a few years ago in Marilyn. And then there is a free book for everyone in the audience. Now, it's not the Late Late Show, but it is a church here in the Church of the Good Shepherd. Is that right? And there's a free book for everyone. And then we'll finish with a wee reflection on Luke 4 in terms of where we are. So, CAP, many of you don't maybe never heard of Christians Against Poverty before. But a guy called John Kirby found himself in a bedsit room with his two young girls. And he had £10 in his pocket, and he had a lot of debt. He had a background in the financial services industry, and he then started to work his way through how we get this debt situation sorted out. So he felt God's presence with him as he started to work this wee journey out. And he did, and he was the first client of CAP. 17 years ago, he was the first client of CAP. If you read his book, and that's just a free book, it's his book, it's free here today. He tells a story of going to a National Trust property with two friends, and they had paid for him and his two girls to go in. And he felt, you know, that he wanted to buy an ice cream at this National Trust property, but he didn't have the money to do that. And that's a difficult place to be. But one of the friends was prompted by the Holy Spirit and slipped £10 in his pocket. And he was able to buy them ice cream. And you may think there's people not like John Kirby here in the village or the wee town of Sion Mills, but there are. And that's one thing I and Nan have learnt, that there are people closer to us than you would think who have difficult situations in their lives. So CAP started in 1996, and over those 17 years, God has blessed it awesomely. It now has helped over 60,000 families like John Kirby, who weren't able to buy an ice cream. It operates in England and Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland. It's in Australia, New Zealand, and has just started to operate in Canada, where two people have gone over in faith with no funds, no money, to start up CAP in Canada, and already they're experiencing God's blessings on their journey there. Now, we started our wee centre in Lurgan, which is part of linked to the parishes, our own parish of Marilyn, where Nan and I worship, and also linked to Shankill Parish. They came alongside us a couple of years later. And over that time, we have met over 130 families who are in difficulty or are struggling in some way. And that has been an awesome privilege. In a CAP centre, there are three groups of people. There are people like me who are debt coaches, who are really messengers. There are people like Nan, who are the really important people who draw alongside the families and show them God's love in practical ways. We have a food ministry. We would bring food to the families. We would pray for them, or maybe just even take them out for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. And that is very important. And then there is the prayer team, and that is the foundation of it all, where it starts and it finishes in terms of God's powerful blessing on the minister. So that's our wee story in Marilyn or Lurgan CAP Centre so far. But just before I go on to share with you some of the facts, in our scripture reading from Matthew 25, and sometimes this wee scripture reading is headed God's Heart for the Poor. And really the scripture, it really is a mandate for us as Christians in terms of our wee role to pray about and to really draw us alongside those who are struggling and to reflect the love of God, the love of Christ to them. And just to take three of the wee verses from the reading, and first of all, it says, "For I was hungry and gave you something to eat." I'm sure some of you after your harvest services in here would give out vegetables to the people in this community that you've displayed around your church. And it's a good thing to do, and the people are glad of it. But some of the people getting the cabbage or the turnip, whatever, they're not really in need because they've got enough in their cupboards. But when you deliver a hamper at Christmas or some other time of the year to a family in real need, it is an awesome blessing. We've all heard it's more blessed to give than to receive, but until God had a plan for Nan and I get involved in this work, I didn't understand that completely. And there are families like that in the village of Sion Mills who struggle and find it difficult to match their budget at times. I was a stranger and you invited me in. What happens with Christians Against Poverty is they ring a confidential number, it's answered in Bradford, and then people like me go to visit them along with a befriender like Nan. And most of the families' homes that we go to visit in, we've never been in that home before and we don't know them. And when you go into a family and you hear some of the most confidential information that have never maybe shared with anyone else, and it's shared over tears and from a place of huge anxiety, I can promise you it's a powerful, powerful humiliation, humbling thing to happen to the person going in to visit. And and every time we've experienced a powerful reaction from the people who we go to visit and share and start to pray with them and how start to help them with their journey. I was ill and you looked after me. I was ill and you looked after me. Amongst the 130 families, you might think they're all in a certain category of people. I can tell you it goes right across. That we go to see families who are Muslim families, families from no flags means anything to us. But no stature in the community means anything either. I'm thinking of a headmaster of a school. And when I went to his home, I thought, what's the situation here? But what happened was his wife became ill and she had a problem walking. And she worked as well. But how they got themselves into difficulty is that they needed to make a lot of changes in the home so his wife could go, Paul's wife could go through the home and be mobile. And of course, her salary was no longer there. And they had built their financial budget on that salary of fund of two salaries. So it knocks at every door, and it's only by the grace of God that it doesn't knock on maybe some of our doors here this morning. But I will know here as I look down in this church here this morning that there are at least a number of people who either know people who are struggling with financial issues or maybe struggling within their own family. So we're invited in. We have the blessing of seeing God sort of things out in ways that we never even thought possible. And again, it knocks at everyone's door. Some facts that you may or may not know. And first of all, facts that in terms of how God's blessed us here in Ireland in terms of earthly things. But the average salary of the top 1% of the people in this world is £31,000. The average salary of the top 10% people in this world is £11,000. If you have a car or have access to a car, you're along with 8% of people in this world. And I would think, as you heard those three figures, 31,000 for 1%, 11,000 for 10%, and 8% of cars, not 92%, 8%. Many of us here this morning are in one or more of those figures. So God has blessed us enormously in terms of earthly blessing. So as we sit here this morning, you're wondering, are there people in Sam Mills that cry over their bills on Saturday mornings or other mornings? And I know that's what the devil will put in our minds. There's nobody here. You don't need to pray about this ministry. Because I can tell you, when you're in this ministry, the people talk about praying for protection against the evil one. But it's only now, in the last few years, that I've experienced and know what it is to need prayer for protection. Because just as this is a spiritual world, and the Holy Spirit is with us here, and we have said in our prayers, and we've sang about it, and we thank God for His awesome blessing. But in the same way, when you're involved in where you're endeavouring to help people that are in these terrible situations, the devil gets busy. And I would encourage you, as you will pray for CAP, do pray for the organisation CAP and its protection against the evil one. But in Strabane here and in our area, it's the third highest area in Northern Ireland in terms of families that are living in difficult circumstances. In a survey, 61% of people cut back in meals over the last 3 or 4 years since the recession came to bite. 26% of people have skipped meals. And 1 in 10 homes have problems of some sort of financial issue. So there are people in Sand Mills who have cried over their bills on a Saturday morning. So there are people a stone's throw away from ourselves here, just as it is in our home at home, in both directions, who are in difficult situations. And the issues, you might think it's all bad budgeting. But just as I described the headmaster's wife losing her job because of her illness, it's illness. It's maybe losing one job in the family and only one person having a job, but there was two incomes needed to balance the budget. It might be, and you in this village have experienced businesses closing over the last while, just like there are in other parts. It may be a reduction in hours. It may be relationship issues. It may be families deciding to go and separate in marriage. So there are lots of issues that lead to it. And of course there are some families who maybe the budgeting could have been done better. But mostly it's issues that land at the doorstep that are outside their control in terms of where they find themselves. As I said before, we are only a rural place in Mara Lynn, where our village is 2,000 homes, total homes, in the parish of Mara Lynn. We do go outside the parish and meet families, but we have met 130 families who have rang the confidential CAP number to Bradford, and we have had the privilege of going to meet them in their homes. And when people ring that number, that free phone number, the level of anxiety they have before ringing that is a very big thing. For you or me as Basil to lift and phone a number for a stranger to be welcomed into their home and tell all the confidential information. So just before I share some true stories, I just want to give a little bit of an insight to how CAP works. So the people phone that confidential number. It's answered in Bradford. I have a little laptop or a computer thing at home. It comes up and a visitor's put in my diary, and I go to see them in the evening, I say at 8 o'clock, along with a befriender like Nan. We gather all our financial facts together. We share a Why Jesus booklet with them, and we ask them to read it. We pray with them, and we've gone into all sorts of homes, and we have never, ever been declined the opportunity to pray with them. Because while we are endeavouring to prayerfully, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, sort out the financial issues, our most important part of our journey is for the people in those hopeless situations to come to know Jesus and to know how Jesus can help them and love them and give them eternal life. So we gather all the information, send it off to Bradford, and I will visit them three times along with the befriender. But the befriender will stay with them on all their journey until they become debt-free and beyond that. And that's what we found as befrienders have met families. If they need food, and quite often we go into homes who have very little food and maybe no heat, we bring them either a grocery shop, or we've started a food store and we bring them food in terms of that. And you might say, well, they take the food and they go and spend it maybe on alcohol or something else. Just like I shared earlier, if I go in and judge like that, I might not go at all. We pray about it. We pray before we go in. We pray when we're with the family, we pray afterwards. And all we do is, in a non-judgmental way, to share with them and give them hope in their hopeless situation. So we give them food, and we give them as much food as they need on their wee journey in terms of where we are. As I said before, I don't know what encourages you in your spiritual journey, but I'm really encouraged by true stories of how God sorts things out. And that's been a powerful journey for me, and I have the privilege to witness God sort things out. And it's an awesome blessing. So we just want to share with you a few true stories of what we've had the privilege of witnessing through God allowing us to be his messengers in CAP. We went to a lady called Naomi, Naomi, we went to her home about 9 o'clock on a Friday evening, and Naomi was on tablets for her stress. Her husband hadn't worked for 2.5 years because he was ill, and she brought us all her bills and stuff in a black Binlinger bag unopened. Now, she had no tears because obviously the tablets were helping her to be a lot more positive than obviously she was. But we met that lady, and we were there till 1 o'clock in the morning with her, and you know, she was in a job that wasn't really suiting her, so she would plan for a new job. But just to tell you briefly of what happened, she went for a job. There was over 200 people applied for that job, and the prayers got her that job. She was in a home that was a very poor home in a poor place, And 2 years later on, she's now in a new home. She came and shared her story at the front of our church. And she told about the previous Christmas. She hadn't £5 to give to buy a present for her family. And you might think, how can that be in Northern Ireland? But that's where she was. But she's now completely dead clear in a new home. And all has been changed. She's off her medication. Her husband isn't back fully at work yet. But there's been a distinct improvement in his situation. I told you about, we have a hamper ministry in our church. It's called The Shed, and we started the first year, we had 12 hampers. The second year we did 150 hampers. The third year we did 250, and last year we did, just Christmas past, we did 320 hampers. And we also give out £6,000 worth of fuel. No, sorry, £3,000 worth of fuel. In total, we gave over £30,000 to families in our community. And you might think, how did that happen? When we started, we linked in with Dungannon Vineyard Church, and they gave us food, the first 12 hampers. But we linked in, of all the money given to us, we've an organisation we've linked with, if you give us £10, they give us £100 for the food. And I can tell you, and I really pray that maybe this is something that you folks in Sionmans might consider, but if you have the blessing in this Christmas of giving a hamper to someone who really needs it, it's an awesome blessing for you as individuals when you are with them. I one of the hampers we were delivering, it was in the middle of Craig Avon, and I'll cut the story short, but I went into that home, and it was a very humble flat. It's as humble as you can imagine. But this was a wee Christian couple. And as we, there was potatoes and veg and leeks with it. And I had the box with the dry foods or the tin foods. And as I sat down that table in the middle of that very humble flat, they said 20 minutes earlier we were going down to the shop for potatoes. As she stood with a bag of potatoes in hand, and we didn't have the money for them. So God provides us with the food to do things. And as we gave away £30,000 of food in our parish, on one of those Christmases, God gave us a house worth £150,000. So God's pockets are always bigger than our pockets. Derek and Jeanette, they came. We had a night when 120 people came for a Christmas dinner. They were all camp families. And on that night, 16 people came to trust Jesus. It was a powerful night as regards that. There was one family, Derek and Jeanette and their three children. And three of them came to faith that night. About 10 or 14 days later, I was going to get ready to bring them their hamper. And I'd spoke to the girl, the evangelist, Susan Sadler, who had been at the event, and I told her, Jeanette and the two girls have came to trust Jesus, but Derek hadn't. And she says, ask Derek if he has secretly prayed the prayer of salvation in his heart. So I had three or four other guys were praying. I went to the home, it was about 7:30 in the evening, and I went in, we're chatting, we had wee toys that people gave us as well, we gave them to the wee family, and they were chatting. And I spoke about the Christmas dinner and how it went, and I said these words to Derek, have you ever prayed the prayer of salvation secretly in your heart? That's the word Susan gave to me. And he said, I have. And he was overjoyed, and he just shared his joy, and it was a powerful time of prayer that we were privileged to have. At the camp dinner that I was speaking about, there was a lady called Susan Sanders, she was there, and she prayed for the power, the fire of the Holy Spirit to be with us that night. That was the night that all those people came to faith. It was the 24th of November 2010. 2011. It was 24th of November 2011. And she prayed for the fire of the Holy Spirit. And this was just amazing. After we had the people that came to faith, there was a girl came forward called Ruth. And she was coming to me for prayer. And I didn't feel adequate to pray with her. And I called Susan the Vance, and she came and she prayed with her. And as she prayed, she maybe prayed for maybe a minute or 2 minutes. She asked Ruth, "What do you feel?" And she said, "I feel a huge heat within her tummy just there." It was an awesome privilege to witness how God, when we seek Him humbly to sort things out, what He does. So all those are four or five true stories of how God has blessed the work of CAP and what He has allowed us, and I mean the privilege of undertaking. Because I said to Mark, I walked away from CAP five times. I was in a role where I was kind of in a management role, so I thought, I'll manage this CAP centre. I'll not see families. I'll sort it all out and get the budgets and all sorted out. I walked away from it five times. And that's the truth. But I can tell you the humble privilege of getting into homes like Naomi's home and seeing God sort out that families they got. I can tell you of no more awesome privilege than that in my little spiritual journey on this earth. You might be wondering here of how can you get connections in your community here in Sion Mills. If God is speaking to you at this moment saying, maybe it's for me, I don't know. But you'll pray about that. But if you go to the doctors, the headmistress or headmasters or the social workers or the district nurse, and God will give you the names of families that have cried over their bills yesterday morning. I didn't think we had the families around us. I didn't think. I was a doubting Thomas. But it's not our ability, it's our availability. It's our availability for what He's called us to do. As I draw to a close, there are a few wee things I want to share with you before I just want to reflect on Luke 4. First of all, if there is a CAP money course that you can get involved in if you want, and that's a one-day training with CAP, that is a very simple day that would give you a little more insight into how it all works and how God has blessed the work of CAP. The second thing is, and I really want you to do this, that we have got free books with us given, free for everybody. If you even take it and pass it on to somebody, but there's a wee card on your on most of the chairs are towards the back, because Mark said you sit at the back, and yes, you do sit at the back. But anyway, there's nothing wrong with that. But if you would fill in that wee card, we would love you to take a book away free and just read it and pass it on to other people. Because the reason we want your wee names is that we want you to pray for the work of CAP in terms of that. So that's what I'd really love you to do. And we'll be standing at the back on the way out in terms of sharing that with you as well. So do fill them in. But just as we come to a close, you know, we had the piece of scripture that Mark read for us. And that was Jesus reading from the scroll of Isaiah chapter 61. He read from that. And he said the words, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the years of God's favour." It's not our ability, it's our availability to proclaim the good news to the poor. To pray and have the privilege of witnessing, God answer prayers in the most awesome way is the most awesome blessing. I can tell you, Mark and Louise, I'm just going to give you another true story. Mark and Louise, when we drew alongside Mark and Louise, we had no befriender like Nan for 3 months. Nobody to pray for him, no one to really bring it before the throne of grace every night. No one was there. And after 3 months, there was a befriender family called, it was Stephen and Eiling, and they came along that. And in those 3 months, nothing was happening. Wasn't getting all the information, nothing was happening. Stephen and Eiling came along, and then we saw just a complete change and how prayers were answered. And all the difficulties were before removed. And over a 2-year period, their whole lives have been changed. They came to faith at another camp dinner as well that we had for them. And in the snow just before, it was just before Christmas, Mark rang me. He said, I want you to come down and see us. Maybe it was after. I'm not sure. It was either December or January. He rang and he asked me to come down to see them. And I kind of knew through the prompting of the Spirit what it was going down. But I can tell you, as I sat in his home, and they told me that only for the power of prayers being answered through CAP, as a family they would have been apart and separated. Because they were in an awful place. It was an awful home to go into for the first time. You were aware of the stress, the anxiety and the difficulties. And when they gave me that envelope as a donation to CAP, because of where they found themselves, it was the most awesome and blessed moment as they gave back some of what God had given them. So all I'm saying to you two this morning, folks, I'm only the messenger. I'm not a theologian. I'm just sharing of the awesome privilege that it has been for Nana, myself, and the team of 20-odd people and Marilyn to experience how God moves through the power of His Holy Spirit. I'd just like you to pray for CAP and pray for the whole CAP families. CAP has helped 60-odd thousand families over the years and continues to help them on their wee journeys. Last year, over 500 people came to know Jesus through the prayers of the people in CAP. So all I'm saying to you is, it's not your ability, it's your availability. And don't miss out on the awesome opportunity to experience God's blessing when you go out and prayerfully have the opportunity to share with people who are struggling. And to share with them that from a hopeless, and I mean a real hopeless state, like Mark and Louise, and to bring them to a place where they can have life eternal through the power of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for all the people here at our service this morning. I thank you that we've had the chance to give glory to you, Father, for how you have blessed the work of CAP and how you took your servant, John Kirby, and gave him your vision to start this wonderful ministry. I just pray for all the people in this village of Sion Mills and pray especially for the families that are struggling with various types of financial issues or other issues in the homes. And I just pray, if it is your will, Father, that you will place on the heart of one or more of the people here this morning that they will feel a desire to find out more about CAP and to pray about it and to reach the families in this community that may be struggling. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.